Dateline, December 17, 2010. Disney tries to overwrite history with Tron Legacy.
The grid. A digital frontier. I tried to picture clusters of information as they moved through the computer. What did they look like? Ships, motorcycles. Were the circuits like freeways? I kept dreaming of a world I thought I'd never see. And then, one day, I got in.
Greetings, programs! Like a lot of Retronauts fans, I was a child in the early 1980s, and some of my earliest memories revolved around video games. The nature of the era meant that I was also vaguely aware of computers as a concept, although I could not understand how they worked or how they did whatever it was that they did. I had an excuse, though. I was in kindergarten. Grown adults without an understanding of computers were tasked with making a movie on that subject, and thus we got Tron in 1982. Tron asked the far-out question of, what if there were, like, people inside the computer? And supposes that every single program, be it an app at a bank or the latest arcade game, is full of Cyberdenzians who live their digital lives just like we do. Except they all wear gray togas with high-tech highlights and believe that somewhere out there, a race of beings called users created them all for a singular purpose. Hashtag relatable, am I right? The fact that an arcade game is a computer program unto itself should matter more to the story of Tron, but for dramatic purposes, the movie is instead all about anthropomorphized programs actively competing in video games like human beings would play Frisbee or Hi-Li. Please, do not ask further questions about this concept, for you will find no answers. In Tron, a young programmer named Kevin Flynn, played by Jeff Bridges, is actively hacking into his former employer Encom's database, searching for evidence that he was responsible for the company's hit arcade games, not the executive who stole his ideas before firing him. When Flynn sneaks into the facility for direct access, he is attacked by Encom's sentient master control program, who shoots Flynn with a laser beam that transmits his body and consciousness into the mainframe, leaving him to fight for his life inside the world of the computer. Flynn succeeds in his mission thanks in part to Tron, a security program written by his real-life friend Alan Bradley. Both roles are played by Bruce Boxleitner, as well as Flynn's nature of being a user rather than a program, which grants him innate powers over cyberspace. Tron's appeal wasn't just the then-futuristic subject matter, but its use of unprecedented computer animation, albeit in limited form. Most of the film is actors on a set shot in black and white with old-fashioned animation used to add color. But the digital landscapes and the famed light cycle sequence were entirely computer-generated. While primitive by modern standards, Tron retains a distinct look that has enabled it to age more gracefully than other contemporary CGI productions, like The Last Starfighter and the clunky helicopter attack sequence from Gogol 13 The Professional. Tron grossed a modest $33 million in 1982 dollars, more than Blade Runner, which released that same year, but far less than the lauded hits of the day like E.T. or Star Trek II: The Wrath of Khan. Tron was a spectacle, no doubt, one that continued to grab the imagination of viewers for years thanks to the emerging home video market. I do not remember seeing it in theaters, but I remember repeated viewings on VHS. At best, it was a cult hit, the kind of movie that people would reference either ironically or with occasional reverence, wondering when the Disney Corporation might consider revisiting it one day. Thank you. That one day turned out to be December 17, 2010, when Tron Legacy was released after nearly three decades of silence. The film is a straight sequel, not a reboot or a remake, telling the story of Sam Flynn, whose famous father Kevin went missing back in 1989. ENCOM has grown in size and strength over the years since, but Sam doesn't particularly care for his corporate benefactors. The film opens with an action sequence where Sam sneaks into ENCOM the night of their new software launch, steals it from the server, and shares it publicly for free. After a brief incarceration, Sam gets a tip from his dad's old friend Alan that sends him searching the now shuttered Flynn's arcade from the first film. Sam discovers a hidden workstation, complete with laser, which sends him into the computer world and face to face with Clue, a program designed by his father to help run the system, but who now seems hell-bent on building an army. Of course, Sam also reunites with his father on the inside, and the two of them seek means to get him safely back outside. Something curious about making a decades-late sequel to a well-remembered kids' film and trying to convince the audience from the start that the original film was bigger than it was. Tron Legacy opens with a scene of a young Sam hearing a bedtime story from his father in 1989, as he plays with Tron action figures lying atop Tron bedsheets. This scene is part exposition to inform the audience of who the major players are and what they did in the past, but it's also brand propaganda that purports to sell the first film as a sci-fi blockbuster. Tron Legacy is fan fiction written by Disney that takes an alternate version of our world and applies it to the in-universe world of Tron, turning security program Tron into a superhero and a video game icon that made ENCOM a success. It also transforms Clue from a one-off hacking program who is quickly dispatched in the first film into a mastermind who Flynn envisioned as a crucial collaborator in rebuilding the digital world. Every other character from Tron, ally and foe alike, is written out of the narrative entirely. As video game fans should well know, there is no rulebook for making a sequel. It is perfectly acceptable to follow up a beloved title with an experimental spin-off or a radical reimagining, and audiences will either accept it or they will not. There is nothing inherently wrong with making a broader, action-oriented sequel to a smaller, slower-paced original. Famed director James Cameron did it twice, but it should build on ideas that were there in the first place. Tron Legacy jettisons Tron's best ideas about what it could mean for a society to coexist with its god, and just settles for reminding audiences that the light cycles were super cool. I could almost forgive Tron Legacy for being a beautiful, if empty, mess if it weren't so hopelessly vapid. The first Tron gives everyone a clear motivation. Flynn wants stolen data, the MCP wants to grow larger and stronger, and the rest of the programs just want to live their lives. Flynn's journey leads him to discover new allies and a cause to fight for, but ultimately his goal remains the same. In Tron Legacy, Sam has to be convinced to look for his dad in the first place, and as soon as he finds him, his priority is to leave. Likewise, Flynn is content to remain inside the troubled computer world and only acts once he realizes his son's entry has put him in danger. Even still, the major push is to get Sam outside, not to solve the problems that Clue is causing. That part just sort of happens at the end. What does Clue even want, though? He shouts a lot about perfection, and he seems comfortable with digital racial genocide. But what is his goal? World domination? That's cartoonish and stupid, given that his plan to escape the world of computers would strand him in a real world he knows nothing about. It's on par with a goldfish planning to escape from its bowl onto the floor. The effects in Tron Legacy are certainly an improvement over 1982 computer graphics. But there is one glaring weak point which leaves the film looking more dated than its predecessor. CGI Jeff Bridges. In order to portray a younger version of himself in flashback sequences, which in turn becomes the template for Clue's appearance, Jeff Bridges performed motion capture so that his image could be de-aged and overlaid upon another actor. The effect is passable when inside the computer space, as everything there is supposed to be digital anyway, but completely unbelievable when young Jeff Bridges is supposed to coexist with other human beings. He looks like he stepped off the set of Final Fantasy The Spirits Within, and yes, I promise it looked shoddy at the time, not just in hindsight. To see how far the technology has come, amateur YouTube creators in 2020 have gone back to fix these sequences, and the results are dramatic. If I am to gripe about Tron Legacy, then I must highlight two unambiguous achievements of the film, the first being the pulsing score by Daft Punk. Just as the original Tron features an electronic score from synth pioneer Wendy Carlos, Daft Punk's music gives Tron Legacy an urgency that is palpable to the audience. It is a soundtrack I still routinely play to this day. The other esteemed merit of the film is Michael Sheen's performance as a club owner who does not matter much to the story, but he steals every scene that he's in. I have never seen The Queen or Frost Nixon, so in my mind, he is forever Wesley Snipes on 30 Rock, Aziraphale on Good Omens, and whatever his name is in this film, for I have already forgotten it. I think he uses two names? Tron Legacy received mixed reviews from critics, not just from me, and despite making $400 million, it was hardly a smash hit. This was the same year that Disney's Toy Story 3 and Alice in Wonderland made over $1 billion each. 2 years later, Disney would purchase Lucasfilm, and, combined with their purchase of Marvel in 2009, the studio was suddenly awash in recognizable sci-fi properties, so a third Tron movie became less of a priority. As recently as August 2020, there was chatter that another sequel is coming, but at this point, what would be the point? When Tron came out, computers were akin to magic, and video games were the latest craze. By the time Tron Legacy came out, most adults in America were used to carrying wafer-thin supercomputers in their pockets. 10 years later, more people than ever before have access to high-tech devices and always online internet. To my children, the PC in our home is the least advanced technology they can use to watch YouTube videos on. I love science fiction, and I'm a sucker for electronic music, so of course, I would be curious about a third Tron film, but after two near misses, it's hard to feign excitement about the property. There's tons of story potential, of course, especially seeing as how both existing films don't really explore half the ideas they could have. But if Tron continues to be nothing more than shorthand for laser frisbees and light cycles, I'm reluctant to vote with my wallet for another installment. Thank you for listening to this audio version of my latest This Week in Retro column, a Retronauts exclusive for our Patreon supporters. My name is Diamond Fight, and you can follow me on Twitter at FEITCLUB. Good night!